Thank you for joining me. I'm Kimberly Rogers, and you're listening to the Torah portion called Pekudei from March 4th and 5th, 2011, from sundown to sundown. This Torah portion is brought to you by themessianicmessage.com. I hope you enjoy this teaching. Pekudei. It's Exodus chapter 38, verse 21, to chapter 40, verse 38. The Haftarah is 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 51, to chapter 8, verse 21, and the Brit HaDashah is 2 Corinthians 3, verses 7 to 18. Pekudei, it's the last Torah portion in Shemot, or Exodus, and it ends like a wonderful romantic novel. This week's Torah portion is going to be shorter than most of the others because it is a continuation of Vayikel, and Vayikel is a continuation of Ki Tisa, which was about the golden calf. The information in Vayikel and Pekudei is almost exactly like Ki Tisa's. Ki Tisa contained the instructions on everything having to do with the tabernacle and the priesthood. Vayikel and Pekudei repeat these instructions as a way to tell us how precisely the children of Israel followed the instructions. But while this Torah portion will be shorter, it is no less significant, especially for what happens at the end. Now, last week, I explained that this continuation of and the repetition of these instructions was done to show us how the attitude of the children of Israel had changed after the golden calf incident. Like little children whose siblings had been punished, these folks were keeping their heads down and their fingers to their tasks, or, to use another and perhaps better analogy, the newly married wife was being really, really quiet and very, very cooperative. She was being certain to do everything as obediently and precisely as possible in order to bring back the favor of her husband. In Ki Tisa, the Lord said he didn't want to live with the children of Israel in the tabernacle that he had commanded to be built. After the Lord, the husband, found his new bride, the children of Israel, committing adultery or idolatry, he didn't feel like living with her. Oh, they would have stayed married, and he would have fulfilled his obligations to her. He just wasn't going to live with her. He was going to send somebody else to, you know, take care of her and do the things that needed to be done. He's going to send his angel before her. Remember that? He wasn't going to be there himself. What a blow to a new bride. In Vayikel, the children of Israel came crawling back to Yehovah to make supreme effort to be on their best behavior. They even became solicitous of the Lord by giving so much offering that they had to be stopped from bringing more, and they kept all their noses clean and to the grindstone in order to show the Lord how much they wanted him to come live with them. Vayikel and Pekudei are usually read as a double portion. Now, this makes sense since they deal with just how precisely the children of Israel followed the Lord's commandments on the building of the tabernacle and the priesthood garments and all of those things. But since this year, 2011, is a long year, we have to go through 2 weeks of laborious reiteration of the instructions given to Moshe on Mount Sinai regarding the tabernacle, its furnishings, and the priest's garments. So what can we get from all this repetition? Well, the first thing we should learn is to not make the mistake that the children of Israel made with that golden calf. The next thing is to take our cue and learn to be painstaking in our obedience to Jehovah. We should do this even when we are not in trouble for something. Sometimes those who are nitpicky over the commandments get teased by others for it. Maybe it's meant as a jibe in most cases, but I've sometimes heard people be called rabbinical and even legalistic. In fact, I've been called these things myself. It isn't rabbinical or legalistic to want to do everything right in order to please Jehovah. In the case of Pekudei, the fastidiousness of the children of Israel definitely was proper. The Lord desires to dwell with His people. This should be obvious even from a superficial reading of the Bible. First, He had His bride build Him a body that His Ruach, His glory, could inhabit. Then He inhabited a human body when He came as Yeshua. And the next time we see Him, He will be in His glorious resurrected body. He did all of this just so He can dwell with His people. And He's also doing this in order to have true intimacy between Himself and His bride. He loves His people, and He wants to be with them and share a life with them, just like a husband wants to share his life with his wife. Now, the Torah really is a love story, and that's an angle that is often not studied or taught. And like all love stories, it has a happy ending. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 40 and start reading in verse 32. When they went into the tent of meeting, that's the priesthood, and when they approached the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he erected the court around the tabernacle and the altar and set up the screen of the gate of the court. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. You see, at the end of the day, after all of the trouble, the tabernacle still gets erected, the priesthood gets in place, and the glory of the Lord comes to inhabit the edifice. Now this happened, as I said, despite the Lord being so hurt and angry over the adultery or idolatry of the children of Israel that He threatened to not even live with them or, you know, go before them, as Scripture puts it. Now in verse 36 it says, throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So you see, before the ending of this saga, the Torah tells us that wherever God went, the children of Israel went. Well, of course the children of Israel followed wherever God went. He was their husband. All wives follow their husbands. But this is particularly interesting because there were so many ways in which this wife failed to please her husband, except this one. She followed him wherever he went. The reason the children of Israel never failed to go where God led them for the next 40 years is because they never forgot the golden calf incident and how it almost devastated them. they were a lot better at following him, I think, than we are today. And that is not because we've not had our own golden calf incidents, but because we have not yet been threatened with destruction or his refusal to dwell with us. So, like a wonderful romantic novel, we start out with how we got the bride at the beginning of Shemot, and then we go on to see how there were so many troubles and so many things that happened, and the splitting apart of the couple. It's just classic literature here. I'm just going to say this. I think that all literature is based upon the examples in the Bible because it's so beautiful. They get together, they separate because they have problems, then the wife comes back and she's trying to do everything she can to get him back, and he comes back and, you know, they ride off into the sunset together. Can't you see the riding off into the sunset in those scriptures about her following him wherever he went? I just think that's so beautiful and so much like a perfect love story. That's why I think that the Torah is a love story. Yes, that's one way to look at it, but that's the way that makes my heart pitter-patter. The tribulation is coming, folks, and following needs to become an ingrained practice. Notice that the children of Israel never questioned when, where, how, why, nothing. They questioned nothing. So let this be a lesson for us here at the end. You know, when the leaders in the camps say it's time to move, we need to just pick up our stuff without comment or question and get ready to go. In the end, our willingness to follow instructions may be the most important thing. Shabbat Shalom.